Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Hare Krishna. I feel like I've been transported to a spiritual planet. And all of you have been hiding here. Nobody told me. But I looked for you and I found you. So now I know where you live. You can't get away. I'm going to pursue your association. So thank you very much for coming tonight and for being who you are. You're actually holding back the strong tides of Kali Yuga by the practice that you're doing. It's very significant, actually, when someone even utters the name of Krishna. But those who have taken a vow to chant the Lord's names, especially the Maha Mantra, following the tradition from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following in the footsteps of all the great acharyas coming down through our founder, Charya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, are extremely special souls, talking about all of you. And if you did nothing else in this life except for the basic practice of Krishna consciousness, you would be counted among the best of all living beings in the whole universe. In fact, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find something astounding, and that is that Krishna tells his friend Sri Uddhava that out of all the species of life, Krishna says, I like humans the best. So Krishna likes humans, so you should be happy. Krishna likes you. And out of all the humans, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the ones who take to spiritual life are especially dear to him. And the ones who take to bhakti are even more dear to him. And then those who take to bhakti and who bring others closer to the practice of bhakti are the most dear to him, he says in the Bhagavad Gita. Na chatasman munusheshu kashtam me priyakritama. He said, there's no one more dear to me. So from my heart, I'm saying this. I deeply appreciate all of you and what you're doing here. And it will manifest by degrees in your own lives, by the continual process of chanting Hare Krishna, studying the Bhagavad Gita, taking Krishna prasad, by slow degrees. It's just like a fruit that grows on a tree. It doesn't just appear all of a sudden. It takes many seasons of sun and for the tree to... sun and rain and air and light for the tree to grow and then to bear fruit. It takes some time for maturity. But it's sure and certain for those who stay on the path. And it's the most needed in the world today. That is, these spiritual fruits, people are starving everywhere. They think they're getting something. This is Maya's trick. But actually, they're in abject starvation, and we have something to give them that is tasty, that will quench their thirst and alleviate their hunger. And you're all doing that by continuing to imbibe what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given you through his great pure devotees. And the endeavor to give it to other people is in and of itself a high sadhana, just to make the attempt to go give other people the process of Krishna consciousness will bring you to a higher position in Krishna consciousness. The obstacles that you'll face are your best friends, because they will force you to become more internalized in your practice. You'll realize that others have potency to spread Krishna consciousness. Why not me? And this juxtaposition of the sadhana, the internalization of the prayer and mantra and hearing and chanting, and then going out to give it to others and being externalized, very demonstrative, speaking to people, finding different ways to communicate. These two will go together perfectly. And when you do the two together, then not only do you become a higher sadhaka, you rise to the very exalted position of Madhyama Adhikari very quickly. But you also create a community of Madhyama Adhikaris that is very attractive to the whole world. So thank you very much for all that you're doing. And on behalf of myself and my wife, Nirakula Devi Dasi, by the way, my name is Vaisheshika Das. I live in a house with my wife. We've been married since 1986. Is that right? And we both joined the Hare Krishna movement in around. She joined in 1972, and I joined in 73. Then we both joined in 1973, but at different places. As a friend of mine likes to say, yeah, we went to different schools together. She left. She ran away from her birth home on the East Coast in New York and came to California. And near the same time, I was discovering that the material world was a very unpromising place and looking for spiritual life, just as she was. And I practiced Krishna consciousness after having joined in San Francisco in 1973. As a brahmachari for about 13 years. And then when I went to Los Angeles, then Nirakula and I were married through an arranged marriage. And we've been married since 1986, which makes it, 31 years. So 31 years. And it took us all this time to come here to Naperville. So we're going to have a lot of fun over the next few days. And that's because you can't have any more fun than doing Sankirtan. There is no more fun activity on the planet than going out to give Krishna consciousness to other people. It's fully satisfying to the heart. It is a yajna that is unsurpassed. And Prabhupada indicated it again and again. So did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They liked preaching. They just flat out like it because Lord Chaitanya likes it and asked everybody to do it. So they advocated for it. And all we have to do is try. And just by trying, we'll experience the internal energy, the internal potency of the Lord. And we'll come to the perfection of bhakti. That includes the stages of raganuga bhakti, of being attracted to hearing Krishna's pastimes naturally by this service, natural service that takes place in hearing and chanting, to prepare oneself to go out and spread the Krishna consciousness movement. One will naturally come to the higher stages of devotional service. And we'll start tonight by invoking the blessings of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, by singing this song by Srinivas Acharya. And Prabhupada said that one who sings this song every day will imbibe the special qualities of the six Goswamis, especially this penchant for thinking of Vrindavan and for being renounced from the material world and for thinking with compassion of all the living entities in the world, as did the six Goswamis. As the verse that Srinivas wrote in this poem says, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Shad Dharma Samstapako. They toiled over this writing project that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put them on to produce literatures through which people could become directly connected to the process of devotional service. Many years ago, when I was in the San Francisco airport distributing books, I lived in that airport for 13 years. In fact, I grew up in an airport, I'll admit it. I was in the San Francisco airport in the international section where my booth was, and one day I met a young man from Taiwan. And he stopped by the booth, and I sold him a book. It was a Nectar of Instruction. He gave me $10 donation for it. And I saw him put that book inside his little carry-on bag and walked to the plane. And as he walked away, I remembered some time I spent in Vrindavan at Terkadamba. And this is a very sacred place where Sanatana Goswami wrote some of his literatures, and Rupa Goswami also congregated and wrote. And imagining how Rupa had written the Nectar of Instruction there? And did he think about how there might be airports in the future, flying machines, and people coming from various countries landing? And did he imagine that his book, which was at that time written on palm leaf using a stylus that would have to be impressed upon the leaf and then placed in the sun and then reproduced by hand, would end up going through a high-speed printer and electronically producing thousands, millions of copies? And as I contemplated that, I thought about this profound connection I had with the author of the book. As every author thinks about writing a book so that it can be distributed to others. That's why one would write a book. Of course, it's for self-purification, but there's obviously an idea that the book will go out and other people will take advantage of it. And so as I saw that young man walk through security with the book safely in his backpack, I thought, yes, I have a direct connection with the author here. I'm fulfilling his purpose in writing the book. And that young man will have a direct connection with the author Rupa Goswami and those other great acharyas who have brought the book forward, not the least of which is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and through his purports. So this is one after another, we meet people and give them these literatures, and each one is a success. At the time when we leave this world, which it's a very short ride coming through this world, through this human body. Trees in Naperville live longer, much longer than we do. But our lives are much more valuable, and we have the gift of consciousness and intelligence that can comprehend the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we finally do come to this very important juncture of stepping out of the body, ukramantam stitam vapi bhunjanan vagunan vitam vimunanana pashyanti gyanachakshusa, those who have studied the science of Krishna consciousness have some realization, they can observe what's happening. Now it's coming, now I'm getting ready, I'm going to leave my body and so forth. And when we do, we will be able to see what we've done throughout this lifetime. This is something that happens when you're leaving the body. You become acutely aware of all of the things that you've done in your life. For those who have practiced Krishna consciousness, those who do practice Krishna consciousness, as confirmed in the Sri Upanishad, vayura nilam amritam atedam bashmantam shariram om krato smara kritam smara krato smara kritam smara. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices. And because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I've done for you. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, the devotee doesn't have to tell the Lord, please remember all I've done. He knows. And he reminds the devotee at the time of death all that you've done. And one of the most profound things that you can do is extend this Krishna conscious knowledge to another soul in the world who's ignorant and wandering in darkness. And so a friend of ours, Ratnabhushan Prabhu, who's the modern-day Jayananda, Madhudwish, our godbrother, who passed away recently, a great disciple of Srila Prabhupada, said one time that Ratnabhushan, if you never got a chance to see Jayananda Prabhu, the great saint, then go look at Ratnabhushan, because you'll see a modern-day Jayananda. In any case, he told me once that one of his friends from the military had died and come back to life. This happens sometimes. People have their body dies confirmation. Can that happen? Have you ever seen it? Oh. But Satyadev Prabhu, who's a friend of mine, is a paramedic, he told me he'd seen it quite a few times in 20 years of being paramedic. People, their heart stops, everything, they're dead. Then somehow they're revived, they come back. So this military man, who was a friend of Ratnabhushan's, died and was revived. And Ratnabhushan asked him, what was it like? He said, I saw my whole life pass before my eyes. That sounds cliche, practically. It's like from a movie. He said, really? And he said, but here's how it happened. He said, every incident was a separate picture, but I saw it all at once. It's the power of consciousness, especially when it's not restricted by the mind and so forth. And so in thinking of this verse, vayura nilam amritam, I was thinking in the ways in which devotees do many, many activities throughout their lives in the service of Krishna, and we practically forget about them. But at the time of death, all these things will come to bear, and you may have the opportunity to remember each person you met when you gave them a transcendental literature, and the exhilaration of connecting with that person and connecting that person to the parampara through the transcendental literature. So this service will not go in vain. There's accumulation of the service that you do throughout your life, and profoundly so with the process of book distribution. Welcome to the Sankirtan orientation session. And first, I'll talk a little bit tonight about our legacy, Sampradaya. Everyone say Sampradaya. And before I get started, do we have a second microphone? We do, okay. One or many? One, okay. Sampradaya actually means literally the complete gift. And this is lovely to understand this, because what's actually taking place, coming all the way from Krishna, is that a great gift is being passed down. And as we find in the Nectar of Instruction, in the Dati Pratigunati Kuhyam Akyati Prichiti Bhunte Bhujayate Chaiva Shadvidam Pratilakshanam, this is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, Prabhupada says, to engage in loving exchanges, one of which is giving gifts, the second is to accept gifts. And we'll notice that when we go out for book distribution, that what we're doing is giving gifts and accepting gifts in return, out of love. Not only that, we give prasad. And this is what started the Krishna Consciousness Movement. This is what sustains the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So the mood of our Sankirtan movement is gift-giving. That's why it's called a sampradaya, a bequeathment. We have something that's so wonderful and so complete that we give it out, and the more we give it out, the more it increases for us. That's an amazing kind of gift. We become, our hearts become bigger the more we give it, and we're able to assimilate more. And it never ends. It goes on like that forever. And so those who are the greatest givers in society are noted to be the greatest souls. Even in secular society, people note when people have those that have compassion, those that go out of their way to put others first, philanthropical causes are considered much more noble, and they're noted in society. The people who enact them are noted throughout many generations as being great souls, whereas those, even though perhaps wealthy and developing many assets, who are not compassionate, who think of themselves first, although they may be noted in history, they're not noted as noble. And the greatest gift, of course, there are many good causes to give to, but there's only one great cause. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. Many good causes, but only one great cause. And that only one great cause is giving people the direct opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, to understand what one's relationship with Krishna is. This is such a profound activity. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited everyone to take part in it. So this is good work if you can get it. There's all kinds of work that one may have to do in this world, and much of it is drudgery. However, gift giving is not drudgery. It's done joyfully. And this is what our work actually is, and this is the legacy that we are following. So Advaita Acharya, and there's something notable about this picture. This is the great Advaita Acharya. It's one of my favorite pictures in all of Prabhupada's books. And actually, the picture of Shalagram Srila that you see here in the little throne was drawn by hand by Srila Prabhupada, because the artist who drew this made this painting and made a pencil drawing first. His name is Parikshit. And he didn't know what a Shalagram Srila was. It's in the literature. It's in the manuscript that he followed to make the picture, because that's what the artist did. But he had no idea what a Shalagram was, because we didn't have Shalagram Srila anywhere in ISKCON at that time. Nobody knew what they were. So he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, okay, Advaita Acharya is worshiping and calling out to Krishna to please come, but what's the Shalagram? So Prabhupada drew this by hand, and then Parikshit painted the picture around that. So in this picture, we see Advaita Acharya. He's Mahavishnu. In this universe, Mahavishnu has great compassion for the souls, because as Brahma Samhita, yasyaikanishvasita kala matava lamdya jivanti loma vilaja jagadnanata. Vishnur mahansa hiya yasya kala vishesho govinda mari purushamta mahambhajami. He's exhaling and all the universes are coming out, including all the jivas. And then Mahavishnu is expanding himself into Garbhadakshaya and then Shirbhadakshaya, just to maintain a platform on which the jiva souls, who are part and parcels of the Lord, can enact their desires in the material world. He even reminds them what their desires were in a previous creation. But all the while, he's pining for them to come back to their original state of consciousness, which is loving devotional service. And his ultimate purpose for the creation, this Srishti Leela that takes place eternally, it's going on in cycles. Just as when one's breathing, it goes on in cycles, it doesn't stop. So similarly, his breathing, God's breathing, is for a purpose. It's to enable the living entities to come back to Godhead, and he provides every opportunity for them to do so. At the end of the cycle of an entire universe, 311 trillion years, when he inhales again, and he has to wind it all back up again, he becomes a little frustrated. In fact, it's mentioned that at that time, Sankarshan becomes a little annoyed that the living entities haven't taken advantage of all the facilities. Just like you'll become a little annoyed when you present somebody a book and they go, nah, I'm not interested, see you later, buddy. And it's like, come on, it's kind of nice, you know, you should really take it. So the Lord becomes a little annoyed also. He's out there on Sankirtan trying to present, you know, it's like, here, opportunity, and nah, I'm not interested, I'm fine, you know, it's okay. So he becomes angry, and the Rudras, 11 Rudras, burst forth from his eyebrows, and they begin their dance of destruction. It burns down the whole universe. All the matter and the living entities are all then taken back into the body of Mahavishnu. And Advaita Acharya is that same Mahavishnu. So you'll notice in these pastimes, he comes down first, and he's praying to Lord Chaitanya, please come save these people. They're so misguided, these living entities who are part and parcel of Krishna, same quality, but they've forgotten and they've become so retrograde. You need to come. So this is how you do Sankirtan. This is how you do everything. You have to pray with your whole heart, just as Advaita Acharya is doing here. He's sitting down and he figured out from the Shastra how to call Krishna. Krishna is so loving to his devotees, and there are all kinds of loopholes in the scriptures. He found one. And that is, if you offer Ganges water and Tulsi leaf to the Supreme Personality of God, he becomes so indebted to a devotee for offering those two things, Ganges water and Tulsi leaf, he sells himself to the devotee. He's like, okay, I'm yours. So he found that in the Shastra. He said, where's the Ganga water? Here's the Tulsi. Okay, Krishna, come down, please. Come, please save these souls. And this is the constant prayer of those in the Sankirtan movement. This is real life, to have this prayer in one's heart that let me save others, let me go to some trouble to give other people an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. This is a Shukadeva Goswami statement about Lord Shiva, who's known to be all merciful and the greatest of Vaishnavas. He says, tapyante lokatapena sadava prayasojana parama araranam tadi purushasyaki latmana, that the highest worship, aradhanam, of Krishna is to take some tapasya on one's own head for the sake of alleviating the suffering of the living entities. This is the sum and substance of religion, actually, is to show compassion to other jivas. That's religion. Jive doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sums it up in the mission statement, and that is that the highest religion, the highest dharma, is to show compassion to the jivas in this world by giving them Krishna consciousness. There is no other religion. That is our religion. That is real religion. Show compassion to the living entities. And this is the epitome of that. He's the iconic figure of that full mercy. Therefore, when we say Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda, we can remember the compassion of Mahavishnu, who oversees the material world, and his only desire is that they come back home, back to Godhead. And he's praying, please, Krishna, come down. So we can do that too. When you chant your japa, you can lean into it and say, Krishna, please empower me to spread the Sankirtan movement on behalf of Advaita Acharya, to save the conditioned souls to give pleasure to you. Haridas Thakur mentions that the Lord has a pain, and the pain is that the living entities are lost in the material world, and he said, let me do something about it. And Prabhupada writes in his purport, this is real service. This is the highest service. And without that kind of service mode, no matter what other kind of ritual you do, will not have any effect. Jiva Goswami writes this, and he says, just like if you do a fire yajna and you pour the ghee into ashes. He said, similarly, if you don't have compassion for the living entities, if you don't show that compassion by taking trouble in your own life, the tapasya, to go out and save them, so the rest of your service is like pouring ghee into ashes. There's no offering. No, the Lord doesn't appreciate it. So we can follow in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya and call out to Krishna, please, please let me be an instrument of your compassion for the living entities in the material world. That's actual happiness. So what happened? When he prayed, Lord Chaitanya came down and he took birth in the house of Jagannath Misha and Mother Sachi. And such a beautiful section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, you can read it again and again, and you'll be rolling in ecstasy to hear these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who comes, and Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, comes there. She knows that you know, this extraordinary personality has appeared, and they come there with all these gifts to see little Nimai, who is born there in this little place that you can still go visit, that was brought back to light by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Holy Dham. That this is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And so then, as his pastimes manifest, and of course, as you can see here, I'm truncating the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita and jumping to the next part. He really had only two parts to his movement. And they're very simple. One part is chant Hare Krishna. The second part is teach others. So let's do a quiz. Part one? Correct. Part two? Correct. Okay. Part one. Part two. Part one. Two. One. Two. One. Two. One. Two. 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 One. Two. Two. One. One. So if someone wakes you up at 1 o'clock in the morning and says, what's the Hare Krishna movement about? You'll say? That's right. You'll be off the hook. That's it. It's only two parts. So this movement is really easy to pass on because there's only two parts to it. It's just chant Hare Krishna and teach others. It's not just chant Hare Krishna and it's not just teach others. Both parts are there. And that's what he did. So he not only taught others, but he opened a marketplace. It's known to be a marketplace. Now, marketing is a science. Those of you who have studied marketing know that there's quantitative and qualitative reasoning skills involved in marketing. In fact, it's a very absorbing science. Americans love marketing. They like to sell stuff to people. They can sell anything. Sugar water, and it's like, hey, this is good for you. So, really? Okay. I'll try it. So, marketing is something that you really have to put your whole mind, intelligence, and heart into. And you think about it a lot. And you think how to make this available to people so they really want to take it. That's marketing. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He opened a marketplace of the holy name. And Lord Inanda went to various places to market in his regions. He sent out devotees to various places to teach the chanting of Hare Krishna. And his mission statement was every town and village. So you should go everywhere. And look at, here it is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing down the streets of Miami, Florida. And that's very appropriate because we see all over the world that now this is happening, unbelievably. These things are manifesting daily. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the world and taught the chanting of Hare Krishna, and he gave the tenets of devotional service to his disciples like Sanatana Goswami, who immemorialized in his writings, as did the other Goswamis. Soon afterwards, because of the force of the modes of material nature, the movement was lost. And it fractured and it went in many different directions. And there were many pseudo followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for many years that degraded the movement, so much so that in modern times, around the time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at the turn of the century, people didn't consider Gaudiyas very well. If a Gaudiya Vaishnava came to your door, you would just give him something and tell him to go away, because no one considered Gaudiya Vaishnavism to be very important, significant, or that they hadn't much to offer. They didn't know the great wealth of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, because it had become degraded. But the great Thakur, Bhaktivinoda, appeared to revive this movement in 1891. Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the marketplace again and started spreading it all over India. Interesting fact that he was a great intellectual of the time. As you'll see, a great poet. He wrote over 100 books. His songs, every one of them is a hit. I mean, the Beatles did that, you know. But he wrote hundreds, thousands of spiritual songs, that, and every single one of them is a window to the spiritual world that you can't get out of your head. I mean, he's an empowered acharya in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And he realized, amidst the atmosphere at the time, which people, during which the people of India felt very much oppressed and subservient to the British, who were undermining the entire culture of the Vedas and disparaging it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in a group of highly elite intellectuals at the time, and many of them had come up with alternative philosophies to try to distance themselves a little bit from the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Christian ideology and those who were preaching in India were saying, you know, okay, monotheistic and so forth, the Bhagavatam, but this Krishna, you know, they get to the 10th canto, why is he dancing with other men's wives and so forth? They were completely misinformed, and they wanted, of course, they had a hidden motive. They wanted to undermine the entire culture. So they began to systematically undermine the culture of the Srimad Bhagavatam and so forth. And at that time, many of the Indian intellectuals began to buy into this and come up with other philosophies like Brahmoism, which was kind of a combination of impersonalist philosophy, Christianity, a little bit of Bhagavatam, a mishmash, the kind of thing that one comes to when one speculates. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was among them in discussing these types of things. And when he, in his rigorous research of all the spiritual literatures of the world, came to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he found that this is the uniter of all religious processes in the world. This is the one who has brought the perfect philosophy and who illuminates the Bhagavatam and gives the Bhagavatam in such a way that it's livable and shows how the Bhagavatam is the supreme literature and how Bhagavan, the object of the Bhagavatam, is the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna. And when he came back to his intellectual circle and says, aha, I've got it, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were shocked. Then what happened to you? He was like, you know, devotees who go off and join the Krishna conscious movement, their parents are like, what? You did what? And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur then became the spokesperson for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He actually revived it. And he started writing books and sending them out all over the world to bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement back to the dignity that it deserves in the world. He sent books to great poets like Thoreau and Emerson. He sent books to universities like McGill University in Montreal, Canada. A compassion was overflowing to see that people of the world would take to Krishna consciousness. And to that degree, he opened a marketplace. He began marketing in a big way. People think about Amway as being one of the first multi-level marketings. It wasn't. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you read his treatise on the marketplace of the holy name, that's where Amway got their idea from. It's an idea of people selling it, you know, the products at home. One person, by word of mouth, teaches another. They teach them how to teach others. And then it spreads out, word of mouth, through everybody. It goes to everybody in the land by the power of multiplication. You get millions of people involved. So he had this whole scheme. And it was based on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings of Nam Dharma. Just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you can come to the highest position in life. and worshiping the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and he also prayed for help. He was calling out, please send me a ray of Vishnu, someone to come into my family to represent this great philosophy. And he was a visionary. He saw, of course, as I mentioned before, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw from his vantage point at Sir Bikunj how in the morning times there was a cloud of dust coming from Nisringapalli all the way to the area now in Antardweep where we see the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and near Mayapur. And he then discovered through realization that it was Lord Nrsimhadev every morning going to Mangal Artik at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before it had been revealed by him and confirmed by his Guru Maharaj. So he also predicted that a great personality would appear. He saw it, that this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's will, and a great personality will appear in order to spread this to every town and village in the world. So meanwhile, there are these great sadhus who are keeping the tradition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alive. Although I indicated that the movement was lost, it's never entirely lost. There are great sadhus who continue the Shudanam, who know the internal secret of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. But as the light of the Bhagavat points out, sometimes the waterfalls are flowing and sometimes they don't show any water. So similarly, sadhus are like that too. Sometimes they're effusive and they're teaching all over the world, and sometimes they're quiet. But these great sadhus, like Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, keeping the vibration, the pure vibration, and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he had internalized in his heart, going. And then that ray of Vishnu appeared. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was there's a remarkable biography written by His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami called Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. And it tells of the life and teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Should read it. Definitely study it. Take time out to read that book to understand the stature of this otherworldly personality who had descended to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So he then made that marketplace swell all over India. And then he had inroads into Burma, and of course he sent a delegation to London to try to get it going across the ocean. And then one of his disciples, Abhai Chatur Naravinda, who was a householder at the time, who had met his spiritual master when he was a young man, kept that meeting and the image and the teachings of his spiritual master in his heart until he took initiation over a decade later. Even then, he was tied up with business dealings and family dealings. But still, he had that burning desire in his heart to follow the order his spiritual master had given him when he first met him, which was to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And then when he met him again at Radhakund in a private meeting, he asked him, what can I do for you? And his spiritual master said, if you ever get money, print books. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, I took this up from his mouth, that he is very fond of books. And you can see throughout Prabhupada's teachings and his activities that he was focused on this. That his spiritual master said, if you ever get money, print books. So when he came to America, he really just brought books with him. I love this picture, Prabhupada leading the charge with a book. And that's what he brought with him to America when he came, his trunk of books. People say he didn't have money when he got off the boat, but it's not true. Did you know that it's not true? He had $20. Do you know why he had $20? He sold a set of Bhagavatams to the captain before he got off the boat. So he actually had $20. He sold it for a set of the first canto in three volumes to the captain when he got off the boat. And also, another little known fact, unless you read my book, Brahmananda told me this, that when Prabhupada got to America, there was already a copy of his book in the New York Public Library. As Prabhupada had sold 16 sets of his books to the Library of Congress in New Delhi, which is a branch of the Washington, D.C., a huge library. And they have branches all over the world. One of them is in Delhi, and Prabhupada was going all over selling his Bhagavatam. So he sold 16 sets, and one of those sets of Bhagavatams, that is the three-volume first canto, was dispatched from Delhi to the New York Public Library a year before Prabhupada arrived. And Brahmananda told me this. I interviewed him extensively for my book, and he told me, he said that was Prabhupada's entertainment when he first got there. He said he took three bus transfers to get uptown to the New York Public Library to go in and visit his books. You can imagine that the concentration he had on the book and the faith that he had in these Bhagavatams that he wrote about on the Jaladutta on the way, and then to see his books had already arrived in America. This you can only think of, and the exhilaration that Prabhupada felt. So now Prabhupada's boldness, and that is that here's the pamphlet that Prabhupada wrote when he didn't have any money. He just had the first three volumes of the first canto, and he wrote 60 volumes of elaborate English vision. This is his vision. And then he wrote all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. He's thinking all over the world. He doesn't have any resources, no connections, no backers, anything. Of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami mentions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest capitalist. What kind of capitalist? Spiritual capitalist. In Silicon Valley, where we come from, there are these venture capitalists. And what they do is they look for people that have a good idea. They'll say, okay, we'll give you some startup capital. They need that to start their corporation, startup companies. They're doing this all the time. Those who join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement should know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the wealthiest capitalist in the world, and he's ready to back you at any time. And if you become a spiritual entrepreneur, take a little risk, put a little fun into your life. Don't hold back. Find out. Prabhupada got on a Jaladutta. What's that like? You want to get on a boat, you don't know if you're going to live or die, you don't know if anybody's going to pick you up. Now that's fun. I mean, not fun exactly, but it actually puts you into the exhilaration of life. Predictable is boring. There is no predictable, but in Maya, I think I'll be safe here. I'll make these four walls, but actually it's an illusion. So breaking out of that illusion, Sankirtan is the opportunity to catch your own Jaladutta. Maybe it's your car, and you think, I'll get in that car, and I'm going to drive out, and I'm going to try, for heaven's sake. I'm going to do whatever I can to try to spread this movement, come what may. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. I don't know what's going to happen when I step out this door, but I'm going to try. I'm going to go for this. That puts you in the same kind of energy that Prabhupada was in when he said, I'm doing this. I don't care what anybody says. I've heard that mantra before. That's powerful. You know, the Krishna book was printed, reprinted in the 1980s in mass quantity because we happened to have a renaissance in book distribution going on in the 80s, early 80s. And one of the trustees from the BBT was going around asking the distributors, what do you want? What kind of book should we print next? And when he came to St. Louis, we told him, Krishna books, we want Krishna books. And right after the print-in had taken place a few months later, there was this huge surge in anti-cult activity. And it was all over the news, Krishnas are brainwashed. It was a very tense time all over America. And all over the world, in fact. Somehow the gain just went up. Did you mean to? It went up just a little bit. So, just around that time, the Krishna books came out, and all the devotees froze. They said, I can't distribute a book that says Krishna on it. As people look at it, it goes, you mean you guys are Hare Krishna? No thanks. So they were all sitting there in the storehouse, and they had already been shipped. We had thousands of copies sitting in our basement in St. Louis. And then one day I was with my friend. We were going to the St. Louis airport every day distributing books, but not Krishna books. So it was Janmashtami, and we went out for book distribution in the morning. And my friend Divyanga Prabhu, a partner in distribution there, he said, I don't care what anybody says. I'm selling Krishna books. It's Janmashtami. I like that mantra. I don't care what anybody says. I'm doing it. That's the spirit. And then he started selling Krishna books, and he sold 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 80 Krishna books that day on Janmashtami. And I was like, what? So I started selling Krishna books. And then then the word got out and everybody wanted Krishna books. And all the devotees were like, give me some Krishna books. They were on the phone from all over the place. And then they were hoarding them and there was a fight over who would get more. So it's that spirit, it can break through that inhibition that one feels. Just say, I don't care what anybody says. I'm doing this anyway. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it, I'm doing it. I'm just going to try. If Prabhupada hadn't had that spirit, just said, I don't care what everyone says, I'm doing it. My spiritual master said to do it, I'm doing it. That's it. That's final. And it's up to Krishna what happens. That was his mood. And that's the mood of Sankirtan. Now that's life. Without that, life is boring. It's actually even degrading. It's the soul needs to break out. You have to break out into that mood of risk for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually feel happiness in life. Otherwise, you become stagnated. You get barnacles all over you from just trying to protect what you already have. So all over the world for scientific knowledge of God, that's how he's thinking, because he knows he's backed by the most wealthy capitalist. So there he goes. He starts enacting his plan. His spiritual master said, print books. And there he goes. He's printing books. And then he started teaching his doctrine of book distribution. And that is, by printing books, we'll actually inject this into human society, because the pen is mightier than the sword. And here's what he said. I want everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of God. This is what Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Lord Chaitanya's plan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to deliver the fallen souls. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole business plan written on like on a napkin or something. And here it is, Srila Prabhupada's plan. I like this idea of distributing books and preaching. That is Lord Chaitanya's plan. So he equated the two ideas. So book distribution is solidly in the category of bona fide preaching, and that which is very much desired by Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. So this is the famous statement Prabhupada made in 1975 from the Vyasasana in Los Angeles, California. And just let me set it up for you for a second here. Fledgling movement, but starting to have all over the world leaders who are taking charge of different zones. They were called GBCs and still are. And now Prabhupada calls them all to come to Los Angeles. He's got something to tell them, and he wants to tell them in person. So they all fly into Los Angeles. And two things happen at this meeting. One was that Prabhupada went for a morning walk one day with all the GBCs from around the world, and the BBT representative, the main BBT, which was in Los Angeles. And it was run by a very empowered devotee named Rameshwar Prabhu. So Rameshwar was there, and his assistant, Radhabalabha Prabhu. They were on the walk. And they were very happy to report to Prabhupada that they had moved all the devotees who were doing pre-press from New York to Los Angeles to consolidate the effort. They'd also brought the most modern equipment that was available in the world to print Prabhupada's books as fast as they possibly could. And he, during that morning walk, reported to Prabhupada that now we're going to be able to print one of your books every 2 months. And Prabhupada was putting his whole life energy into translating these books, especially at this time, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada had the whole manuscript ready. Now Rameshwar makes his triumphal announcement that we'll be able to do one book every 2 months, which is practically unheard of at the time. Prabhupada turns to him. He says, I want all 17 books that were in arrears in 2 months. Rameshwar then says, and this is serious business, because when Prabhupada told a devotee something, that means that's it. You do or die. There was no like, sorry Guru Maharaj, I'm busy right now. This is life or death. And he turns to him and he says, I want all 17 books in 2 months. And Rameshwar replies, but Prabhupada, that's impossible. And that's a fact. It was impossible. But then Prabhupada retorted, impossible is a word used only in a fool's dictionary. And he turned around and kept walking. Rameshwar and Radhabalabha stood there stunned on the beach. And Rameshwar told me that when he digested what had just happened, and then he surrendered, he realized that Prabhupada said it, I have to do it. And as soon as he did that, and he said he was looking around the universe, and he saw there's planets moving. How are they moving? How are they floating? There are plants growing, there are trees. It's all a miracle. It's happening by Krishna's arrangement. And then he realized that I'm surrendering to this. And as soon as he had that internal commitment, and he said, do or die, I'm going to make it happen, then all the ideas started coming into his mental system so fast, like rivers flowing in, that he said he and Radha Ballabha were walking down the beach behind Prabhupada's walking party, and he said if anyone saw them, they would have thought that they were crazy people, because they were talking so fast about, we'll do this, then we'll do that, we'll make this arrangement. They finally caught up to Prabhupada, and they said, we'll do it. And they began to ask Prabhupada for concessions. In order, he said, we'll need this, we'll need that. Prabhupada shut down all the operations at New Dwarka and asked everybody in the whole New Dwarka community, plus people from all over the world, to fly in to take part in this historic marathon, during which they printed all of these books, 17 of them, impossible, within 2 months. Nirkula was there during that time in Los Angeles, and she was recounting how devotees were doing double duty on everything, staying up all night just to make sure that everything happened. And they completed it within 2 months and 1 day. And Prabhupada wrote a letter to all the participants, and he said, because of your service, you will go back home, back to Godhead. And then he said, by the way, you're 1 day late. So that's one thing that Prabhupada did during that meeting, when he called all of his GBCs, his world leaders, and then he sat down at Srimad Bhagavatam class, and he said to all of his leaders there, who were straining to hear every word that he said, every indication he might make for what Prabhupada wanted them to do, and he said, print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. In this way, the Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase. And devotees took it in. And they realized, with renewed strength, this was 1975, book distribution was already growing very quickly, but Prabhupada fanned that flame, and he said, this is what I want. And they all understood it, and they put their lives and souls into this. Prabhupada constantly preached the doctrine of transcendental literature distribution. He noted that there were others in the world who were distributing very rapidly their literatures, and who were making great inroads by spreading their philosophies and ideologies through literature. And I'm going to talk more specifically about this on Sunday, exactly how this happens in human society, and why book distribution is a good strategy. It's actually the strategy that organizations and scientific movements take in order to spread their ideologies and have them embed in human society. In fact, there is no other tangible way to embed an entire ideology into human society. I'll go more into detail on that. There are other organizations, before we start thinking, oh, we're doing so much for book distribution, we've distributed 500 million books. Well, there are other organizations that are way ahead of us. Let's not let them stay ahead. We don't want other organizations to stay ahead. Watchtower, 239 countries, 595 languages, 46 million copies per month that they're distributing of their magazine. The Bible, Gideon's, 200 countries, more than 100 languages by 216, 91.8 million copies. Target, 120 million a year by 2020. More than 2 copies of the Bible distributed per second in the world. They're out there. They're doing it, and people are you know, connecting to their message because literatures are powerful. We want to surpass this, and that's what Prabhupada was preaching when he was talking about their other movements, like the communists. Said, "Hurry up, do this, organize around this principle." He wanted our communities to be organized around the principle of getting these literatures out to the people, so that they could take advantage of it. That is a fact. And you can look it up in any of Prabhupada's books and his lectures. This is how he organized. He even wrote it in the 7 purposes of ISKCON. Although he mentioned all these varieties of missions within under the banner of ISKCON, the seventh mission is to achieve the aforementioned missions by taking up the printing of, and distribution of literatures and books. It's fundamental. So here's a statement from Prabhupada's books that will change your life. And if you would not like your life to be changed in a very positive way and become exhilarated so that you can barely sleep at night thinking about this statement that I'm about to read to you, then please put in some earplugs and cover your eyes or go in the other room. And then we'll let you know when to come back in. Okay? Keep going? You sure? I'm not convinced. Okay, somebody's covering their ears back there. The direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy. And this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. Repeat it. Yes, Vaisheshika, say it again. The direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy. And this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. Now let's say it all together. You ready? Order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy. And this particular energy is means seeing the Lord face to face. Do you realize the implications of that? The Lord gives orders. And if all you do is just pick it up, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how downtrodden you think you are. If you just pick up the order and you try to fulfill it in whatever way that you can, you connect yourself immediately to the internal potency of the Lord. This is the power of the Lord's words. They're the source of all creation. So here's one that comes down to us from Srila Prabhupada. He said, "So kindly help me. This is my request." And he's asking for help in distributing his books. So if you avail yourself to this instruction and say, okay, I'm going to try to help Prabhupada, then you immediately get connected to the internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming down through his representative. He said, "I want that all of you, my students, shall try vigorously for this book distribution." Krishna himself, as I mentioned earlier, mentions that there's no servant of the world more dear than the one who tries to teach the message of Krishna consciousness to others. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives his own open order, and that is become a spiritual master. And try to teach everybody, everyone you see, try to teach them the message of Krishna consciousness. Open orders. Simply by this attempt, you'll get superior strength and knowledge about Krishna consciousness. So this is one of the great benefits of going out to distribute books, and that is you will get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness by taking up this activity. And now before I move on to the next section, I'm going to take some reflections. A reflection means anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind, that if we wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning today and we say, what was the main part of the seminar, what will you say? You guys are brainwashed, you know that? Okay, so let's take a microphone. Let's hear what you have to say about anything that you heard so far. Go right ahead. Feel free. Share. Sharing means caring, according to the Salvation Army.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I think the one that stuck to me really is I always had, you know, this thing called causeless unwillingness that Ram Padma Raj says. And he said, "I don't care, I will do it." I think that was really powerful for me.
Yeah, the immortalized words of Divyanga Prabhu on Janmashtami. "I don't care what anybody says, I'm distributing Krishna books. I'm doing this." Yeah. Very good. Thank you. More. Share. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Raise your hand.
Yeah, I like that line too, like no matter what happens.
A little closer.
So just don't care about anything, just go ahead and distribute book. And like whenever I read this, talk about book distribution and all that, And it's really encouraging me that no matter what happened, Krishna is a, we have to make the Krishna as a goal. And this is the knowledge actually we get from Prabhupada. And no matter what happened, we have to stick and distribute books.
Thank you very much. Very good. Yeah. You did good. What else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much. One thing which struck me as you were sharing Rupa Goswami's statement that when we don't have compassion for others and not sharing this message, all of the service are like pouring ghee in ashes.
Yeah, Jiva Goswami says that. Yeah, this is the perspective of the acharyas, that you have to come to the Madhyama Adhikari platform. Kanishtas are Prakriti Bhaktas. They're admitted into the circle of bhakti, but only by the generosity of the great souls. But when you move up to the position of Madhyama Adhikari, then you're actually considered really on the team. You're actually participating in a real way. Madhyama Adhikaris know how to do good for others. The definitions given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the various stages of devotional service, Kanishta Adhikari, Acharyam eva hareye pujam yashareyete natad bhakteshu cha anyeshu sabbhakta prakrita smitaha. This definition is given by Havi Yogindra. He says that the prakrita bhakta, the kanishta, the beginner, is concerned only with he only sees the Lord in the temple. And he sees, okay, God's there. But he doesn't recognize devotees, for he doesn't know how to worship devotees. He doesn't know that by worshiping devotees, he pleases Krishna more than by worshiping Krishna directly. He doesn't know that. He also doesn't know, cha anyeshu, how to do good for others. And therefore he's called the Prakriti Bhakta. And the Madhyama Adhikari, Ishvare Taradineshu Balisheshu Dvisatsucha Prima Maitri Kripopeksha Yakuroti Samadhyamaha. The Madhyama Adhikari sees the innocent and is ready to pour in as much mercy as possible. He sees the envious, people who hate God, and he skillfully avoids them so they don't become more envious. He sees God, he knows the deity, and he knows how to develop love for God and show his love for God. And he sees the devotees and knows how to worship them and make friendships with them. So the Madhyama Adhikari platform is the platform that one must come to really be in the game. And that's done by this Sankirtan process, by going out to teach Krishna consciousness to others come what may. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advised his sannyasis to go out every day, at least knock on 3 doors, he said. He said, even if people don't accept, he said, at least they'll see you and they'll think, oh, a spiritual person was here and their life will be benefited. And he said, your life will be benefited also. And he told how. He said, when you go out into public and you're neglected, misunderstood, and rejected, you get spiritual blood to nourish your spiritual body. He said, chidrakta, spiritual blood, comes into your chidsharira, which is your spiritual body. You're getting transfusion of blood, and you're actually developing your spiritual body by going out and taking that friction, by going out and preaching Krishna consciousness. Don't be afraid of it, embrace it. This is how to become mature in Krishna consciousness, is go out and face your fears. Actually, there's not much adversity out there at all. The funny thing is, it's mostly in the mind. The mind's saying, don't go out there. You're really going to get it. You know, and when you get out there, everyone's like, where you guys been? You know, I've been waiting for you for 20 years, you know. And everything just flows, and devotees don't want to come back home. They're like, you know, get in the van. No, get in the van. No, get in the van. No, they don't want to come back. So this is the power of going out on Sankirtan and accepting that challenge. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, what stuck in my mind is that the stats you were showing on the Bibles and all those things, they were so huge stats. What stuck in my mind when you said that we've got to beat those stats?
That's right.
With our books.
Right.
So that stuck in my mind.
Yeah, and where do you start? Wherever you are. Organize. This Naperville, the reason I'm here, I'm attracted to this place. This is the next big thing. I guarantee you. I know it. I've analyzed what's going on here. This is it. Because you have what it takes here. You have the loving exchanges. You've come together. You have this perfect direction. And you're unencumbered. You have every right and privilege to unrestrictedly expand the Sankirtan movement from this place. Nobody can stop you. And just by organizing and keeping the mission in front of you, this will grow into a book distribution empire. I guarantee it. And I can see it happening. And I've known it for a long time, just seeing how and hearing about all your activities here. I see this very similar to the community that we come from, you know, starting up from a little place, coming together, cooperating the way you're all doing, making incremental steps to come up. This is a definite winner here. The ISKCON Naperville, my prediction. You can write it in your book. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Could you please share with us the count of books that we've distributed so far in ISKCON?
Half a billion.
How do we
between when Prabhupada started as a campaign in America with no money, $20 getting off the boat, his box of books, you can do a lot with a box of books. He started a worldwide movement with a box of books, got off the boat. What do you got? Box of books. And he started his word. By the time he left in 1877, 50 million books had been distributed. Now 500 million literatures have been distributed all over the world.
A few years ago, we went for a yatra with Rompad Maharaj, and we went to Tirupati. And I believe the numbers that were given were in the range of like 35 crores was raised from sale of books.
Raised from what?
From the sale of books.
In Tirupati?
Yes.
Oh yeah, Tirupati. Of course, Tirupati's been very focused on books for a long time, and they have a spot that never ends, because people come to Tirupati all year long, every day, buses full. So they have a perfect spot, and they have the perfect attitude and organization. You know, their whole operation there is based on book distribution. You look at their book room, it's all geared up. You know, it's a corporate operation, how to distribute books. Anybody can do that. And you just have to organize yourselves. Use all the same kind of skills that you do for organizing any other kind of business, and you just grow incrementally, and you can build an empire. And so little ideas with a little organization will grow into something great. Yes. Okay. Two more? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, talking about the internal energy. Seeing Krishna face to face. This is what you remembered from that, and that by taking the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's a manifestation of his internal potency. Okay. Is everyone okay? What is it?
Catch your own Jalduta.
Yeah, catch your own Jalduta. It could come in the form of a little Toyota hatchback. Might be a bicycle. You might jump on the bus. But you catch that Jalduta. Prabhupada caught a big boat. You know, our little Jalduta may be just getting out the door or whatever it is, but that's how you make progress, as you face up to this resistance. Resistance with a capital R. It's there. It pervades the atmosphere in this material world. In fact, Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam to Sri Uddhava that the mind has controlled us for many lifetimes. It's for no other reason except for the mind keeps us under its control lifetime after lifetime. And he says, the mind has fearsome godlike powers over the soul when it's unbridled. So if you, in this lifetime, decide, I'm not going with the mind's ideas, I'm going with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ideas, I'm going with the ideas of the Acharyas, and I'm just going to follow that, come what may, you can overcome the great tyranny of the mind. So now we're going to look at this rapid way of making progress in spiritual life, which is going out for book distribution. Because book distribution is high sadhana.
And now here are the four laws of book distribution. Please memorize these and follow them. And if you follow these four laws of book distribution, you will improve your book distribution day by day, week by week, year by year, and not only individually, but also collectively. I guarantee it. They just flat out work. That's why they're called laws. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. First one is, your sadhana must be strong. Please say. Number two is, you must get books. Number three is, the more you show, the more you sell. Say it one more time. The more you show, the more you sell. Number four is, you must organize. Okay, here's how they break down. First of all, everything comes from strong sadhana. Without strong sadhana, you don't get anything. No pass go, no collect $200, nothing. Sadhana means strict, serious, and sincere. Prabhupada uses these three words in various places, but you can string them together on a little necklace and wear it around. Strict, serious, and sincere. I see some people are starting to wear it on their t-shirt now. There's several t-shirts out that say strict, serious, and sincere. Thomas Hari Bol started that, and now it's spreading. So strict, serious, and sincere sadhana means that you get a taste. It's your responsibility to get a taste because you have to beg for it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Nhe ashodi maya nashi bharu lagi." Lagi magi means to beg. You have to beg for this. If you're not begging, then your sadhana is not at a point where you're going to get traction. And if it's not at a point you get traction, it's called niyamagraha. You're just doing it because you feel like you have to. Don't do that. Beg. Just beg. Don't feel embarrassed. Get on your hands and knees and put your whole heart into it. Cry if you have to, but you got to ask for it. And you have to ask really hard. And if you do your sadhana like that, if you put your whole heart and being, every cell in your body, you're entitled to do that. The Bhagavatam says it. There's no other purpose to human life except for asking for this, begging for it, just calling out for it. Don't feel embarrassed in front of your colleagues, your friends, your family, to dedicate your whole life to begging for this, to get one drop of taste. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jivana hoyalo shesh nabhajile hrishikesh. He said, your life can end at any moment. What are you doing? You're going to die any second, and you haven't got that taste yet. He says, get it. And he says, do whatever you have to do to get this taste one time, and then your life will be complete. So this is sadhana. And when you get that one taste, even if it's a molecule of taste, you'll have overflow because it's so powerful that you'll have enough to distribute to everybody in Naperville. No, to everybody in Illinois. No, to everybody in the Midwest. No, to everybody all over North America. That one molecule will expand and it will flood all of North America. No, it will go across the ocean and it'll flood all of Europe. And then go into Africa. And then it'll go down and hit Australia, go up into Asia. It'll cover the whole world, one molecule of taste from chanting Hare Krishna. But you have to ask for it. You have to specifically ask, please let me have this. And you have to put your whole heart and soul, you have to lean into it so hard that every cell in your body is begging for it. And then you can get one molecule of taste if Krishna decides to give it to you. And if you have that, then you have overflow, and that's sankirtan. We're distributing what we get from our sadhana. And without that, then you'll think of selling something else. And people have thought of all kinds of bright ideas. Let's not sell Bhagavad Gita. Let's sell soap on a rope. That's stupid. Sell Bhagavad Gita, not soap on a rope. We don't want soap on a rope. We want Bhagavad Gita. And if you love Bhagavad Gita, if you're reading Bhagavad Gita and you're feeling that Krishna is speaking to you directly from Bhagavad Gita, you'll run out the door to try to give it to other people. And if you're not reading Bhagavad Gita, you'll think, meh, I'll sell soap on a rope. Which is a terrible invention. Stupid. Chapter a day of Bhagavad Gita. You got to read a chapter a day of Bhagavad Gita. It's Bhagavad Gita. It's the best book in the whole world. Everyone that I know Bhagavad Gita, you got to read Bhagavad Gita every day, one chapter at least. And so to do this, you can at least read all the Sanskrit in one chapter. It only takes you 5 minutes. Or at least the English translations. At least that. And then you can do that every single day. And then you'll become a pundit. Your intelligence will become fixed. And you'll be able to overcome all problems in life. And plus you'll have potency to speak about Krishna consciousness anywhere you go, because you're aligned with Bhagavad Gita. You can pick out the devotees around the world who read Bhagavad Gita, listen to them talk, and you go, that person knows what they are talking about because they read Bhagavad Gita. You know who they are. You can find them. They know what they're talking about because they read Bhagavad Gita. So if you're in this movement to become advanced and you want to preach, you have to read Bhagavad Gita every day, at least one chapter. Prabhupada said, please encourage the others to read this Bhagavad Gita at least one chapter every day. Bhagavad Gita as it is should be read by all of my students at least one chapter a day. Join CHAD. That's our underground organization. If you like subversive organizations, CHAD is for you. Chapter a day, that's what CHAD is. And then we have BSH, page by page. This started off as a little card I have here. This I did for myself, actually, because I looked at all Prabhupada's books and I think, how can you read all those books? There's too many and not enough time. And then I read a little article by Brian Tracy one day, and he said, whatever big task you have, just break it into tiny little pieces and then do what you can every day. So I said, I'm going to do that with Prabhupada's books. So I counted how many pages there were in the Bhagavatam. I said, okay, I got the number of pages now. How many pages I have to read? How many are there? 15,119. That's a finite number that we can handle. Okay, now break it down. If I said to myself, self, you want to read the Bhagavatam in 1 year, 41 pages. That's all you have to do. 2 years, 21 pages. 3 years, 14 pages. 4 years, 10.5 pages. 5 years, 8 pages. Doable, right? If you just make a schedule and stick on it. So then I thought, how about all the other books? And they're all on here. And then we made the app. This is available on the App Store for both Android and for Apple. You can go there right now and pick it up. It's free. Free of charge. You can go to this beautiful little app that's been designed, and you just do the picker wheel and you can find which book you want and pick out how many pages a day you want to read of each one of Prabhupada's books, and it'll give you a reminder every day to read your pages. And there's a lot more coming to this app. We're going to have a feature soon where when you sign in, you'll be able to see everybody else on the planet who's reading one of Prabhupada's books at the same time, and you'll feel part of a community that's reading. So get on this schedule. You should know when you're going to finish the Bhagavatam. You should know the date and the day. So if we wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, we shake you and said, when are you going to finish the Bhagavatam? You'll be able to say, August 4th, 2018. I'll be done because I'm on the schedule. So you'll know. And if you know that, then you're actually on a good sadhana path. And you should complete the cycle of reading all of Prabhupada's books continuously. Now, here's something I discovered. The deeper I try to go into Prabhupada's books, the more I realize there's no bottom. There's no way that I'm ever going to come to the end of it. If you try to get a PhD in the Bhagavatam, it's too vast. You can just pick out one chapter or one verse and try to write a PhD thesis on one verse. And then you'll have 17,999 more to go to come to the point. In other words, there's not a lot of time for collecting all kinds of other things to read and look at and so forth. I don't disparage that. I read other things too, but this is the basis. Prabhupada's books, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion. Who knows those backwards and forwards? Well, anyone who does is getting a taste and is getting perfectly aligned in Krishna consciousness. And this is Sankirtan. It means to take all this in and live in these books, imbibe what's in them. Imbibe means to drink, and then go give it to other people. Hey, there's a look at the app. Be a sage, page by page. Did anybody pick it up? You got it? Yeah. And join CHAD. We have an organization. It's called readchad.com. www.readchad.com. And you can join others around the world who are reading a chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. At least they're chanting one chapter with just the Sanskrit or the English. Okay? Say yes. Okay. There's a little QR code you can scan if you like to go there quickly. Okay, second law of book distribution is? Now let me teach you a little trick about the second law of book distribution. First I'll tell you how we came to this. We went to universities all over the world, the greatest universities, MIT, Harvard, London School of Business, scientific universities, and we did studies, and we found out through our double-blind studies that you cannot distribute books that you don't have. It's practically one of the laws of thermodynamics. And therefore, we came up with the second law of book distribution. You got to get these books. These are rare books. These are books. And if you have them, you're in the game. And if you don't have them, you're out of the game. In fact, even if you just walk out the door, if you carry a book with you, at least one book, Lord Chaitanya will send you somebody. And if you walk out without a book, shame on you. You're breaking the law. Carry books with you. Get into this. Keep them in your car. I taught this in Chicago about 4 years ago, right? And who are the two devotees? They were doing that business with the biscuits and everything? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And Ajita and? And Yashodananda. So they have that business together, right? So they took this up, they took it seriously after the seminar. So they put a big box of books in their car. And they were driving around with it. They're thinking, well, we got the books. Who knows what might happen? So one night they went to a program. A bunch of devotees came to the program, somebody's house. And during the program, the host said, you know, I really want to give Bhagavad Gita to all my friends. And do you guys have any? And all the devotees looked around and said, we don't have any. And then Ajit and Yashodananda looked at each other and said, we got books in the car because we got books. We're following the second law. So they ran out to the car. They brought in the box of books. And there were about 8 Bhagavad Gitas and some other books. And they said, here, how about these? And he said, that's good. Here's $1,000. Yep, that's what happened. And they said, wow, this really works. So the next time they were driving to the airport, when they came to Chicago, I said, hey, you got your box of books? And they told me the story. I said, this is why. If you have books, you're in the game. If you don't have books, you can't play. You don't get to play in the Sankirtan movement. You got to get these books. And if you have at home, you can pile up cases in front of the refrigerator and just tell everybody, we're not eating until they're gone. So this is military. When you join the military and they ask you a question, you answer like this. You say, sir, yes, sir. But you say it like this, sir, yes, sir. You know how to do that? Let's try it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, in that same mood, but only for number two. When I ask you what the second law of book distribution is, you say, yes. Get books. Okay, what is the second law of book distribution?
Get books.
You'd be kicked out of the military. Let me show you. That was on a scale of 1 to 10. That was about a 2. Okay, what's the second law of book distribution?
Get books.
There you go. That's the second law of book distribution, get books. So if I wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning tonight, I say, what's the second law of book distribution? You'll say,
get books!
That's military. That's where you want to live. You want to get books. This is a law. This is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this. He carried Brahma Samhita, Krishna Karanamrita all over the country. He had them copied by hand. We're into this. We want books. We carry books. This is what we do. We're book-carrying members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So when you get books, then you can make them available. And look at all the books that we have. There's not just books in English, which is a miracle unto itself. It is a real miracle. We have books in all different languages from around the world. And this is an even bigger miracle. To get one book translated into a second language is the very difficult task. It's a very difficult task, but we have them. And it's very easy to distribute them just by learning a couple of words, and even if you don't, we have language cards that you can use to show people. And here I am in a Vietnamese mall at a Starbucks. These guys were really happy that I had Vietnamese books, and I knew a couple words in Vietnamese, and I became their best friend. They all took books. And there is a Muslim mullah that I met one day at a weekend market, and I said, Salam alaikum, alaikum salam, matava kifelak, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And he said, you believe in Allah? You pray? And I said, 16 times a day. And he came over and he gave me a big hug. He embraced me, and I showed him this Farsi book, and he loved it. A Muslim mullah, he took it back to Afghanistan. And there that book is there, it just shining light in Afghanistan. The books that went into Russia in the early days, Prabhupada put his first book in there. It was smuggled in. Malati threw it in Shamasundar's suitcase before he went to Russia. A crime punishable by death. They found it at the border, but somehow Krishna covered them over and it got in. And when Prabhupada was there for 3 days, they met one Russian boy. He took that Bhagavad Gita. He had it hand copied. That's what started the Russian Revolution. One book could topple an empire. These books are powerful. Get them out there to people. Put them in their hands. Let them take them home. This is revolution. This is what we're here for. We're here to spread the Krishna conscious movement through literature all over the world. And this can be done because there's a window of opportunity right now that is unprecedented. We have free speech. That's practically unavailable in many parts of the world, but it's written into our constitution. You can walk around and say whatever you want. And you can pass out whatever you want in this country. Be bold. Take advantage of this. So, coming up, by the way, in September, as a side note, this is a coming out now, just today. We're sending out all the information. The books in Arabic are going to be worth many more points than they are now. For instance, what was worth 0.25 points is now 3 points. Ashish Upanishad was half a point, now it's 4 points. SSR was 1 point, now it's 5 points. 2 points for Bhagavad Gita is six. POY now is three. And a set of, those are all Arabic books. So if you get Arabic books and you hunt down the Arabic speaking people, it's a lot of fun. They're very open, very high thinking people. They'll take these books and you'll get many more points. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita now is double points for distributing the Chaitanya Charitamrita sets. So I think somebody's calling in an order right now. So, the third law of book distribution is? Now, this is only the second one we say military, but this one we always say twice because it's so important. So, say it again. Yeah, the reason this works is because little Jiva is wandering around the universe just looking for something nice. And little Jiva looks here and there and sees signboards. Signboard says, drink Coca-Cola. Because Coca-Cola means happiness. Little Jiva, open a bottle of happiness. That's their campaign. Unabashedly, they say that. So little Jiva sees that and he says, okay, I'll stop on my way home and get me a big case of Coca-Cola. It opens a bottle of happiness. He brings it home. He opens takes the bottle out. He opens it up. And then every cell in his body is going, don't put that inside here, little Jiva. And little Jiva says, no, I saw it on the signboard. It said, open a bottle of happiness. So he glunk, 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 sugar water. Did he get happiness? No, he got sugar water. But little Jiva's getting sugar water everywhere he goes. Not getting the real thing, but he's looking for it everywhere. That's his whole plight in the material world, just loitering and looking, trying to find some little happiness. So if you just show Krishna book, you just set up a stand anywhere, little jivas will just migrate over there and start going, what is this? If they see it, they'll start looking at it. And everywhere you set up a stand, police will come over, the big crowds of people show the Bhagavad Gita. You can go to events. Here's the pumpkin festival we do every October near where we live in a Bay Area. And I finally figured out why we do so big there, because the books are the same color as the pumpkin. Diwali events. And here's the smart box. It's just a little vending machine. We have 125 of these set up. You got them here? And if you're the kind of person who likes to distribute books while you sleep, this is for you. Smart table. There's Shivas Pandit just standing out there meeting people. Srila Prabhupada said, I want everyone to have a set of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas. And Tom Hopkins, the greatest salesman in the world, said, sell in bunches like bananas. And look at that. These are in bunches. So you can take Bhagavatams out. And if you just show them to people, this is one house we went to. This is SKP. Sri Krishna Purushottam is on the right. He's our co-Sankirtan leader. I was going up and down the hall. He was standing outside this one apartment. He asked me, come over here, stand here. Because they were trying to decide whether to invite us in or not. Because they knew it was going to be trouble. So with me standing there too, you know, they came back and they go, okay, come in, you know. So he came in and started showing them the Bhagavatam. And they said, we don't have any space. We would, but we don't have any space. I looked around and I saw this shelf. That's where the red arrow is. There were all these stupid games and books that are ludicrous, crazy, stupid books, magazines, hairbrush, old stuff they hadn't looked at in years. I said, what is all this junk? Why don't you just take this out? I said it nicely. And so we started taking out all their junk and put it in the Bhagavatam, cleaned the shelf off, and there it is in that tiny little apartment. And that's what happens. When you bring Krishna in, then all the other junk goes out. And it's amazing. You put in a set of Bhagavatams, they're never the same. It's like their whole life changes. And so you just have to bring it in. Show it to them. It's like, how do you sell Bhagavatams? Show people. How many are you going to sell if you don't show people? Approximately how many will you sell if you don't show any or talk about it? Keep them in the box, leave them in the basement, or better yet, don't even order them at all. How many are you going to sell? Approximately how many? Approximately zero. But if you take them out and you start showing people and you go around and say, hey, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. Little Jiva's wandering around. If you can buy Coca-Cola, for heaven's sake, and think it's a bottle of happiness, you can surely convince them that this will actually bring them happiness. It makes a lot more sense. Okay, here's a Muslim guy from Morocco. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can you sell Chaitanya Charitamrita? Say yes. How do you do it? The more you show, the more you sell. The more you show, the more you sell. The Shraddha's going around door to door. Looks like she just came back from initiation ceremonies out. She's got the little dot on her forehead. She's going around showing people. The guy from Morocco says, come on in, I'll take a Bhagavatam set. He's a Muslim. He bought the full set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. So how do you do it? Show people. And just tell them it's a good idea, and they'll believe you. Okay, then you can put them all together. Put all the books all in one shelf. Include the shelf. And throw in mudangas and everything else. What happens if you show this to people and say, why don't you take it? What happens? What happens? Say, they take it. Why do they take it? Because little Jiva's wandering around the universe. And if you show him stuff, he'll take it. You say, little Jiva, look at this. It's a whole set of Bhagavatams, Chaitanya Charitamritas, every book we have in publication, plus all the lectures. It's got kartals, it's got madanga, it's got a picture of the parampara, it's got a lifetime subscription to the Bhakti Godhead. Jiva, what do you think? No, all right, I'll take it. Why wouldn't he take it? Got nothing else to do. Okay, Motel Gita. I just upgraded this. I had it at 350,000. Now they just told me it's up at 400,000 Bhagavad Gitas. So Mayapur Vihari comes to me one morning. I'm sitting there chanting japa, minding my own business. He comes up and he says, hey, I got an idea. I want to put Bhagavad Gitas in all the motel rooms. I said, oh my God, why didn't we think of that before? Please go for it. And he just burst like shot at from a cannon, started selling them. We got on TV out there. Everyone's like, oh my God, they're putting Bhagavad Gitas in hotel rooms. And it just so happens, 65% of the hotel rooms are owned by Gujaratis. If that isn't Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, I don't know what is. But these whole cities are arrangements by Lord Chaitanya. The whole thing is set up for Sankirtan. And unless you're begging for it, unless you try for it, you're not going to see it. You'll just think, oh, life's a big boring thing. Everything's hard. I hate my life, you know. But if you get into Sankirtan, you actually have some life. Sankirtan is life. Say, there it is, Bhagavad Gita. People are reading it. Number four is? Yeah, just organize. It starts with brainstorming. You come together and just talk about how to do stuff. The humans are smart, like anything. They come together and they just talk about stuff and say, how do you do this? And it's like, I have an idea to put them all together. That's how companies get big. Apple started in a little garage. It was just Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. They said, this is good. I think we have something here. Let's talk about it. They started doing it. They got a little company together, tiny little company. Everyone thought, a bunch of punks, get out of my way. But then they started talking, organizing. Then when they got their corporation going, they'd go and meet together at Pajaro Dunes, and they'd talk about, like, how do we make this better? They're the biggest company in the world now. How did they do it? They started in a garage. Where are you guys starting? In a little place here in Naperville. How do you spread this all over Illinois and then all over the world? Just get together and organize yourselves. You're the smartest people on the earth. I guarantee you, you're in the top percentile, the smartest people anywhere. I know, I've been around, I've seen. You guys are it. Just get together and talk and figure out how to do this. And if you just talk amongst yourselves and set some goals, you can rock the world. That's what you want to do out of Naperville, rock the world. You should have a t-shirt like that. Here's Prabhupada's idea. With a view towards achieving aforementioned purposes to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. It's right there as the seventh purpose that'll achieve all the other things, which means building stuff, natural way of life, bringing people closer to Krishna consciousness. It all starts, the tip of the spear is book distribution. Organize, get yourself a calendar, and designate the times that you're going to do things. Make goals, because as soon as you make a goal, and it's very clear what the goal is, then immediately all the means to do it will flow into your community, into your mental system, as soon as you commit to the goal. Growth in North America, it started with this drastic growth when we made a goal in North America to do at least, first 2 years, 20% increase, 20% increase, then 10, 10, 10. And we've gone from $750,000 to $2 million to the BBT just by setting goals and working together. So you can do it too. That's our first little book room at ISV when we're starting off. And now tens of thousands of books flow into the parking lot every week. Because it's just grown through the process of organization. So use all the modern means that you can, apps, everything that you normally use, report your scores to the newsletter, and that is the process of organization. So what's the first law of book distribution? Your sadhana must be strong. Say it. Second is? Let's try it again. Second is? Number three, you say twice. And number four? Oh, sorry. And number four? You must organize. And if you follow these four laws of book distribution, you will build a book distribution empire here in Naperville. And that's why I came here, besides to get your association. It's just to tell you that. Is you're on the verge of rocking the world from here in Naperville, and you're going to build a beautiful brand new temple, and you're going to this is going to be a beacon of light. It already is, but it'll become more and more. And if you put book distribution on the forefront, then all your other programs will increase precipitously by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Not only that, all the devotees who come here will feel the sense of mission, and they'll come up to the position of Madhyama Adhikaris, and that's where you want to be. Because Kanishtas sit around and fight with each other all day long. That's what they do. And Madhyama Adhikaris sit around and think about how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Take your choice. Which would you rather have? So this is important. And you are ready for this. You were born for this. You're here in Naperville for this purpose, in this little outpost. It's a staging area to spread this all over the Midwest and then all over America and beyond. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you.
Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey! Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.